Hey guys, welcome back to .NET Conf. I'm Jason and this is Adrian.
Hello everyone.
Glad to have you back for yet another session today. Of course, this time we're going to be talking about new features in Xamarin Forms, new and coming features in Xamarin Forms.
This one's pretty exciting. I'm pretty pumped up to go through
this. One word, Linux. So Xamarin Forms on Linux is going to be super, super cool. But yeah, there's a lot of other cool stuff to see as well. But first, a little bit about us.
Absolutely.
You first.
Great. My name is Adrian Stevens, and I'm the curriculum manager for Xamarin University. So I work with a team that writes the curriculum, the content, the training materials we use at XAMU. And Jason is... He's the face of XAMU.
I'm one of the faces of XAMU. Yeah. There's quite a few of us, actually. So the trainers at Xamarin University, we pretty much do this every day. We talk to people who want to learn how to develop mobile applications. We do it day in and day out. We love having the conversations with you guys, and they really are conversations. Because when we do our live classes, it's not like this where I'm kind of talking at you and there's a lot of people out there and it's one way. We have a serious conversation. You get to talk back to me. You get to talk back to me. You get to have a conversation with me. You get to ask questions. We get to figure things out together, or maybe sometimes I even have the answers right offhand for you.
Like a real class. It's
like
interactive.
Like a real class, right. Yeah. We're talking 20 to 40 people on the average class, so it's very much like you'd expect out of any proper classroom experience, just remote.
And of course, as we're talking about cross-platform mobile development, so Xamarin Forms.
Exactly.
Some Azure.
We also have Azure. Yeah. We talk about testing. So quite a bit of material to make you a better developer. And a lot of it free. So our self-guided learning, that's kind of a computer-based training model where you'll go and start off your certification process for free and go through self-paced, little quizzes in there. Slides, videos in there.
Of course, the exercises. You're going to build real applications with Xamarin and Xamarin Forms.
Being the most important part, the exercises, absolutely. Coding for real, us helping you along the way. All right, well, without further ado, why don't we start talking about our new features in Xamarin Forms.
So, exciting.
Yes, it very much is. And so, as a reminder, Xamarin Forms is all about being able to, and Xamarin in general is all about being able to write in one IDE, write with one language, use your .NET class libraries, and attack all these different surfaces. So Windows, iOS, Android.
So just phones then is what you're saying?
Absolutely not.
Just phones.
Yeah. Absolutely not. In fact, we already support Mac OS X for our Xamarin Mac experience if you want to.
Right, so we can use C# and .NET for Mac OS development.
Exactly. Now with that, you're going to still be writing to the Mac OS APIs to create visuals.
Right, so our UI through Cocoa probably.
Right, exactly. Hit the Cocoa UI. And so that's what you would do if you were doing Xamarin Mac. And it's how you would also do Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS. But what Xamarin Forms adds to that is an abstraction layer where I can define my UI once and say I want a button. And when I run that on iOS with my iOS executable, I get a UI button for iOS, or when I run it on Android. But one of the really things we're talking about today is that abstraction that lets me get an Android button when I run on Android or a Windows button when I run on Windows, that abstraction is now being extended to our Linux environment and our Mac environments. This is ridiculously exciting.
Really exciting. So we're going beyond just mobile. Yeah, really, it's Xamarin Forms on desktop. And you'd like to mention, we've got some desktop support already.
We do.
UWP, of course.
UWP runs not just on mobile platforms. It runs on all sorts of things already. Again, I've mentioned in a few other sessions your refrigerator. Yeah. It's not a joke. Xamarin Forms runs on Windows IoT, and Windows IoT runs on your refrigerator. So we've already got the refrigerator as well as the desktop covered with Windows environments, but we have real full desktop support now that Xamarin Forms also runs on your Linux desktop and your Mac.
Pretty fantastic.
Preview still, but working previews as you're about to see.
All right, so let's start with Mac OS.
Let's do.
And yeah, exactly as Jason said, it is preview. It's a fairly mature preview. So Mac OS, Xamarin Forms Mac OS support is quite robust, as we're about to show you. So it's something you can get into right now. But yeah, keep in mind, it is a preview release. Actually, I'm jumping ahead, but let's actually go back one slide. I apologize.
Oh, sure.
Really fast. What do you need for it? If you're excited to get going on this?
I think it's pretty much the same type of thing that we're going to use if we're doing iOS development. So I have Xcode installed on my machine because I'm doing iOS development.
And that's on our Mac, of course.
And I have a Mac.
Yeah.
That's pretty important. Xamarin Mac because I'm doing Xamarin iOS development.
Absolutely.
So I have Xamarin and Xamarin Studio tools and or Visual Studio tools installed on my Mac.
And where do I get Xamarin Mac?
Well, Xamarin Mac is available right from your installer. So when you install, when you have your unified Xamarin installer, you're going to have it right there. But for your NuGet pack, for your Xamarin Forms for Mac, simply a preview NuGet pack.
Right, absolutely. So we'll show it to you in a moment. But yes, so it is part of Xamarin Forms. It's available now. It is public, but it is preview. So we'll show you how to hit the preview NuGet package to use this. And one thing I want to mention quickly here as well is it does work in Visual Studio, but it is Visual Studio for Mac. So you will be doing your macOS development on your Mac. Now, you can still work on your Xamarin Forms abstraction, your UI, on Visual Studio for Windows.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we're not going to necessarily be able to compile Xamarin Forms Mac on a Visual Studio for Windows machine the way we can do with iOS, but we can still work on our solutions there on our Windows machine if we like. The Mac process, the Mac troubleshooting process, will simply happen on our Mac, which makes sense. If you're developing a Mac app and we already know you have a Mac in your environment, it kind of just makes sense that you're going to actually do that all right there. So
with that,
why don't we actually look at you doing that on your Mac?
Perfect, great. So let's switch over to my computer and
maybe don't install updates right now.
Yeah, I'll say that for later. let's take a look. So I've opened up a pretty typical Xamarin Forms application, and this is actually a real application I use. It's a study aid. It's an exam preparation tool for a radio technical exam. And I'm going to show it to you running first here. So notice, again, we've got our shared code. That's our exam project. We've got Android, iOS, and UWP head projects.
Fantastic.
Of course, for the Windows project, we need to be on Windows to deploy
that. So much like we're saying that a Mac OS project is not going to be something that you'll compile and run on your Windows machine, the Windows project is not one we'll compile and run on the Mac machine. Again, just makes sense.
So speaking of running updates, of course, we live a little dangerously.
Oh my gosh.
We've installed Xcode 9. We've got the latest and greatest iOS tools here, and so this is a little demo. So this is not surprising. Xamarin's been really great about staying on top of new releases, and we support iOS 11.
Hit the X.
Yeah, and look at this.
iPhone X.
We're on the iPhone X, and here's our Xamarin Forms application, and it looks like it's running pretty well.
Pretty cool looking.
We've got some graphics, got some buttons, got a list view. We go in. We've even got some effects here, applying some subtle gradients in our controls, and off we go. And this is a working application. Again, this has real data in it. This is used as a study aid for a technical exam.
Super awesome.
So I want to get this running on Mac.
Right.
With Xamarin Forms.
Makes sense to me. We've already got Windows. We've already got Droid. Why not throw Mac in there?
I wonder if I should just bump the font up a notch here. Let's just zoom in here a little bit. Make sure everyone at home can see. Perfect. So because Xamarin Forms for macOS is in preview, it's not in the templates yet. So we're going to have to do just a little bit of work to get it up and running. Now, the great news is I'm going to show you the mechanical steps, but there's a really fantastic blog post put up by the Xamarin Forms team that shows you all these steps. And so I'm going to even cheat a little bit. I'm going to do a little bit of copy-paste coding, but we're going to walk you through the steps and show you what you need to do.
It's the same copy-paste that would happen for any project at this point. And by the time we actually release this technology, it'll just be part of the template.
Presumably, it's going to be there, and so you won't have to do these steps. But it's actually kind of fun to see how it's wired up.
It is. I actually love this part.
All right, perfect. So I'm going to add a new project to my Xamarin Forms application. And this is also a common scenario where even if it's in the templates, I don't want to start over. I'm going to bring in macOS support into my existing Forms application. So.
Exactly. This is a reasonable scenario that you already have this solution that's completely written, that has a lot of great Xamarin Forms functionality, but you just couldn't before extend that to your Mac. So now that Mac's available, it's very likely that those of you with Xamarin Forms applications are just going to go, let me just add that project in and hopefully get the magical experience that we hope to see from Adrian here.
Absolutely. No pressure now.
No pressure.
So we're going to add our head project, right? We need our native project to execute. So file, new, and then, of course, I've got my tools installed under Mac. I'm going to pick app, and it's a Cocoa app. And again, as Jason mentioned, Cocoa is the UI framework running on macOS. And we'll give it an app name. I'm going to be consistent here and call exam, but I'll give it to macOS just so it stands out. And there's some fun little features here. For example, I can give a different name for the doc item for, so I might call it, radio to indicate what it's for. And we've got some other tweaks. And we'll hit next. And off we go. And this is going to create, again, our macOS project. Now, the next thing we're going to do is bring in Xamarin Forms. We'll bring in that Xamarin Forms NuGet package.
Right, because right now we just have a Mac project, and it's actually even trying to write its own UI, create its own UI with like a storyboard and things like that.
Right, exactly. This is just a regular old macOS project, except that it's a Xamarin macOS project, so it's C# and .NET. So pretty fantastic.
it's already amazing.
It's already amazing, but let's make it... Maybe not more amazing, but amazing in another way.
Differently amazing.
Differently amazing. Love it. So we're going to add a NuGet package. Now, there is something important we have to do here. I already have it selected, but I think Jason has already knows what I'm going to say. We want to make sure we're searching for pre-release packages. So
that's right. This one is, of course, pre-release. So there's obviously a little safety button there. We're not going to automatically let you grab things that aren't stable. So
currently, I believe it's Xamarin Forms 2.3.4 is the current stable release. And so I search for Xamarin Forms. I click on I show pre-release packages button there. And notice now we're updated to 2.4. And I think anything over 2.3.5 is compatible with macOS. So again, you want to use the latest pre-releases.
Yep.
And then, of course.
Because it's not just new functionality. It's obviously bug fixes that go into the pre-releases. So you'll use the newest one available if you're going pre.
Totally. And then probably move to stable once this goes live, which should be later on this year.
Exactly.
So we'll add our package. Pretty fantastic. Now, we've got Xamarin Forms, but we're not connected to anything shared yet. So we're going to add a reference to our shared code. That's, of course, our exam project up here. And
this is where we have all of the UI defined already. So the idea is he's added Xamarin Forms, which adds the functionality of integrating with Xamarin Forms markup. And now he's adding a relationship to the project that has the Xamarin Forms markup and Xamarin Forms code so that he's pulling that into his Mac project now as well.
And let's actually pause and have a look at this. And let's see, how can we make this a little bit bigger here? Let's just spin this up. So notice we've actually got a fair bit of code in that shared project. And we've got pages, we've got images, we've got custom controls, we've got view models. So we're bringing a lot of functionality by adding that reference.
Exactly. We're getting all of that now in our Mac project as well. It was already working in iOS and Android, already working in UWP.
So now let's do some of those mechanical steps we have to take care of. So again, this is the stuff the template will take care of. But for now, we're going to remove the default UI that's provided by that project. And so we're going to open up our info plist, and I'm going to remove this NS main storyboard reference file. And this is just telling it to load that default storyboard. And with that, we don't need our main storyboard in this project anymore either. So I'm going to delete that, because of course, Xamarin Forms is responsible for presenting our UI.
Exactly.
Let's just remove that, and he'll prompt us to delete it. Perfect, off it goes. Now, all we have to do is just really interact with Xamarin Forms. So we're going to open up our main.cs. And let's see if I remember this offhand. Let's see how we go here. I might remember this. So NS application, shared application, delegate. And what I want to do is just connect our main to instantiate our app delegate. So let's go new app delegate. I just remember if it's app or application. So new app delegate. And this is going to kick up the app delegate, which is then going to be responsible for presenting our window, which will then present our Xamarin Forms UI.
And by the way, so a little sideline, what we're talking about here, that this delegate, this is not the same terminology as a .NET delegate.
Thank you, absolutely.
So it is definitely a different concept. I know the wording happens to be the same, but this is a delegate as named by Apple. So when we're talking about a delegate here, what we mean, it's the concept of one class handling the events or handling things for another class. So our application class has delegated, or our main has delegated responsibility for certain events to the app delegate. So those responsibilities are now delegated, including our finished launching, our did finish launching event.
Fantastic. Well said.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent.
Turns out it's what I do.
Very nice. So now we're in our app delegate, and we're going to just do a bit of plumbing now.
Excellent.
So I'm going to bring in the using statements first, because this makes it a bit easier with our IntelliSense. So I'm going to add a using for Xamarin Forms, which, of course, because we add the NuGet package. And this one, it gets me excited every time I do it. Xamarin Forms and Platform macOS. Right? So we've got our macOS support. And so now I think I'm going to do a little bit of copy-paste here, because this is pretty boilerplate. Let's do one more thing. I like turn this one off. The Xamarin Forms team on iOS, they have that custom app delegate, the NS application delegate class.
Right.
And again, a little bit of plumbing there. I think that's to receive the lifecycle events. They do the same thing here on macOS. So we're not going to use the default NS application delegate. We're going to use the
Forms application delegate,
which of course derives from the default, the base,
right, which means it works perfectly with the Mac OS framework the way it needs to.
Yeah, you notice here it's actually got a little red squiggly. It's cranky because we actually have to override a property as well. So we're going to bring that in. So let's grab that. I need to do just a bit of copy paste. We'll do this in pieces. Back to app delegate. So I'm just gonna write over the old constructor and give it the populate constructor. So notice we defined an NS window, which again is gonna be responsible for presenting our UI. And then we're just setting up the window. So some styles applied to it, closable, resizable, has a title. We're setting a default position here. Again, a lot of this you won't have to worry about, but it's quite cool to see under the hood, right?
Yeah, very much.
This is setting initial position. I'm gonna just give it a slightly smaller. So that's our X and Y, so it'll be sort of upper left-hand corner, and just picked an arbitrary size of 1024, 768. And then we're using these to instantiate our window and then just setting a title. So really just a little bit of housekeeping, a little bit of wiring. I'm gonna just grab that property. And so this is a requirement of our forms. I'm in the wrong
base,
class.
Our base class just wants us to have that property in place, so
jump the wrong class.
We'll just comply.
Yeah, and this is a requirement of the forms application delegate. Again, it's just I think it gives it access to the window. Just push that back out. I'm sure the forms team is doing all sorts of amazing things with that. And then the last thing to do is indeed finish on launching. We're just going to actually present the UI. So notice we've instantiated the window. We've set it up, but we haven't actually done anything to kick it off. And just for safety's sake, I'm going to do the copy-paste here. But this is going to look pretty similar to what you've seen on other platforms if you've peered into, you know, say, like the main activity of your Android app.
Right, or even the did finish launching on iOS. It's very, very similar
yeah, it's
on
pretty
iOS.
Pretty darn close.
So we're going to init our forms engine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we're going to load application, and there's the magic.
Right, and so load application is a method provided by Xamarin Forms.
By our base class, as a matter of fact, that you just changed, yeah.
Right, absolutely, exactly. And it's, now we're new up our app class, so that's of course our application class and our shared code. And this is responsible for presenting our initial UI.
And really, this then, by showing our initial UI, it's showing then all of our UI, because our first page links to our other pages and contains our master page, and all of that stuff just kind of flows. We now have the entirety of our Xamarin Forms application at our fingertips because we loaded app.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So, if I forgot anything, I think we've got it all. We'll give it a try. If we have to fix it, we have to fix it. Let's go here. Now, one thing I should mention, and one thing I didn't show you here, but definitely worth keeping in mind, we are using that pre-release NuGet package. And now I set this up ahead of time, but I've installed the pre-release NuGet package on our shared code as well. You always want to keep the Xamarin Forms packages in sync. So again, if you're going to try this out on an existing project, you need to update all of your project at pre-release. Or
maybe branch if necessary, yeah, just to be on the safe side. But you will need to make sure that shared project or Xamarin Forms common project is using the same Xamarin Forms assembly, even if that's the pre-release one as your Mac project does.
Absolutely. So
let's
pretty
see.
Great. And this also always gets me excited because we just made a project. We did a little bit of work.
We barely did anything, and yet it looks amazing.
But look, we've got images. We've got images loaded from the shared code. We've got buttons. We've got UI. We've got logic, and it's all been brought in. Off we go. And we see it behave very nicely. You notice we don't have the gradient here because we don't have an effect yet applied for these buttons. If you get the code, though, out of GitHub, we actually have an effect in macOS as well that adds that gradient effect.
Excellent, excellent. So that's, again, talking about, you know, some things that we talked about in other sessions where we can use platform-specific code even in Xamarin Forms. So when we ran this before, we saw it actually, I think, on Android. On Android, we had the platform-specific code applied, or on iOS as well. We had the platform-specific code there applied. We haven't done that yet on Mac to get the gradients in place. However, it still looks pretty good even without it. And like you said, on GitHub, it's already there even for Mac, so not hard to do it for Mac. It's not something we're gonna do in our very small window of time we have right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to spend more time here, but I think you've got something really exciting to talk about.
We have some other cool stuff as well. So let's just jump back to the slides for just a moment.
Yeah, so we'll switch back to your machine.
And Xamarin Forms on Linux. So this is actually pretty crazy too, because it extends this whole Xamarin Forms is now on the desktop idea to the final major desktop player. So we have on Windows, we have on Mac, and now also on Linux. Now this is also preview, this is an even earlier preview, but we can see it's working. It's actually something that's happening, so this is amazing. Now, of course, we are running Linux here, so we have our Linux now. Our Linux environment, I think I might be showing my slides, my entire awkward slides here, but that's okay. You guys can see my slides. The Linux environment is what we'll be running on. And so let's start talking about then the requirements beyond. I think the slides look awkward, but nobody really cares too much. And
display settings.
And then the GTK, oh, can I just adjust it there? This is fine.
Try to duplicate.
Yeah, there we go. That's better. Now it looks pretty. So GTK then is the library that's actually running all of the abstractions so that on Linux, when we run a great number of different application platforms, great number of different application platform types, we want some library, something that's similar to, say, the Android SDK on Android or the UI kit on iOS. We want something on Linux.
Even Cocoa on macOS, yeah.
Exactly. Something that provides those convenient utilities, like a button, like an entry field. And so the GTK Plus library isn't really specific to anything that's happening with Xamarin or anything like that. It's just been around for a while to provide that kind of functionality to various different higher level programming environments. So it's just a nice way to be able to get a button or an entry field in common platforms and have them look common no matter what language you wrote your Linux desktop app in.
And this is probably like the UI toolkit on Linux.
It's definitely one of the most common for sure. And so then over here, let me jump over a little bit and talk about GTK Sharp. So GTK Sharp then is kind of a Xamarin specific or Mono specific sort of thing where we're providing C Sharp access to those C APIs. So GTK Plus is still C, even though we're talking about having, you know, buttons and entry fields and things like that. So GTK Sharp gives that to the C Sharp developer. C Sharp on a Linux machine often runs Mono. Mono is essentially our .NET runtime in a cross-platform environment, and one of those crossed platforms would be Linux. So we can run our .NET runtime on Linux with Mono. So we actually will need, again, to make sure we install the support libraries, and that is kind of a NuGet package. Now, I say kind of, because we're not just going to go pull that from NuGet.org. Not just yet. So right now we're going to go to the working library where the heavy development is still going on for this Forms GTK.
And I think, again, this is what I want to say, Ryan, it is an early preview.
That's right. And so Javier has been doing amazing work, and it's actually the working repository is his repository, his GitHub repository, but it's a fully official repository. And so this is where the heavy work's going, and he has samples linked there that has NuGet pre-built. So the NuGets are all pre-built. You would, you know, clone the repository. When you get that down, then you can set up your own local NuGet repository and then install it from there. Let's actually take a look and see how this sort of stuff actually plays out. Now,
fantastic. I'm excited.
I'm on a Windows machine here, so that is not going to really do it. Although, interestingly, now let me actually back off a little bit. I'll back off and tell you guys while I get remote desktop wired up here. So the really interesting thing. So I'm going to remote desktop to my Linux machine that's running up on Azure.
Of course, where else would it be running?
Right. So GTK Plus, I mentioned, is a high-level abstraction for providing, you know, convenient controls. And it's an abstraction, so it was made from the ground up to run on multiple platforms, most of which are different Linux distros. However, it also will run on Windows. So GTK Plus is supported by Windows. And therefore, because all the other stuff we talked about, GTK Sharp and Xamarin Forms, also run on Windows and work with GTK Plus, that means, guess what? We can actually run those applications on Windows as well. So Windows has two paths towards Xamarin Forms desktop now.
Well, and that's quite interesting because it gives you, one, an alternate development path. But I think what's probably more powerful about this is more that it allows you to develop your Linux applications in your Windows development environment. And that's what I'm really excited about. I can test locally using GTK on Windows.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I can do the development in where I'm comfortable doing the development in Visual Studio and do the smoke test, make sure it works pretty well on Windows. Of course, if I'm going to be deploying it to Linux, then I want to test there eventually. But I don't necessarily need to be doing all my development there just because I want to support that environment. Absolutely. So I've got my Linux desktop wired up here, and you can see something that's actually interesting, because it turns out that I can actually do my Xamarin Forms development right here in my Linux machine, because I have MonoDevelop. So MonoDevelop is perfectly capable of opening these Xamarin Forms GTK projects for me. And by the way, remote desktop running on Linux is not quite the experience you're used to from remote desktop running on Windows, so bear with the responsiveness on that. All right, however.
So really interesting. So I see what looks like a very familiar IDE, and I love MonoDevelop. It's something that's been in development for years.
Yep, now, absolutely.
It's a really robust IDE, so don't think this is some second-rate application. This is a great IDE, and you're going to love the experience. It's actually got a lot in common with Visual Studio
for Mac. Yeah. It looks incredibly similar, doesn't it? And it works incredibly similar. And they do have a common ancestry. However, this one is the one that runs on Linux. MonoDevelop on my Linux desktop. You can see I have my GTK project is the one that I can build here.
Right, but this is a Xamarin Forms solution, is that right?
This is a Xamarin Forms solution. Notice you can still see my UWP project is in there. My Android project is in there. Now, I could develop Android here, but I don't actually have the SDKs installed.
Now, so Windows, what changes did you have to make here to get this working on Linux?
Not a thing. So we've installed Mono, of course, on my Linux box, of course, has Mono on it. So I ran the appropriate package to install Mono. And we, of course, will need GTK Sharp and GTK Plus. But those actually, if we install the Mono development environment, those actually come along. If you want to install the lighter weight packages, and you can do them one at a time as well, of course. But I just did apt get Mono develop, which actually installed everything for me with one line of bash code right there. So I got that, and then I went and got the Mono develop, the Mono develop IDE. A few more steps involved in that. If you want to do that, I'll leave that as a homework assignment to go find those steps. But those weren't terribly hard. There were maybe three command lines that I needed to execute to make that one happen. So,
well, and I think we'll expect to see more and more documentation as this product matures. Again, it's still early days.
So you bet.
This is bleeding edge.
So bleeding edge. Yeah. This is exactly right. So very, very early. So let's dive in a little bit and take a look at what we've got. So I do have my Xamarin Forms application here. So let's open it up and take a look. So my mainpage.xaml, we got a little bug there because we're duplicating my mainpage.xaml.
And I'm just excited this works. This is amazing. Yeah, you brought a Xamarin Forms application, you're opening on Linux.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got a box view here, and our box view is going to have some code behind to it. It's going to let's see, just dance around the screen a little bit. We've got some things changing, and in fact, look at that. It's actually wired in to some devices like this. So we're going to see some more stuff about that later when we talk about how we can pull this data from Azure. We're pulling the data from Azure. Devices like this one here are sending the data up to Azure. It's so exciting. I love this stuff.
Pretty amazing. So you're going to be doing some visualizing of live data in Xamarin Forms.
We're going to be taking data from these devices here, sending them up through Azure, processing it in the cloud, and then sending them down and reading them and looking at them and processing them in client applications written in Xamarin Forms. Really cool stuff.
I'm excited.
And it even works on Linux.
Let's have a look.
It even works on Linux. So this is amazing. So this is a very light demo of that. But let's go ahead and give it a look. We can see the box view. The box view is getting that data, setting up our rotation, our Euler angles. It's the pitch, rotation, and yaw.
And again, these are Xamarin Forms APIs, right? They're doing the translation?
This is all Xamarin Forms stuff. This is all Xamarin Forms code right here, or shared C# code. Running on
but
Linux.
The visualization is all done by Xamarin Forms.
That's right. The visualization is all done in Xamarin Forms. The calculating of the angle, all the math stuff, is happening in C# running on the Mono runtime. All of this is fully a .NET developer did it with .NET tools. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. .NET developer, .NET tools, and it's running on Linux. Let's give it a run here. Right. And this one's going to be a pretty kind of a lightweight demo because I was just playing around with this. I'm actually also going to open up and we're going to look at a much cooler demo. I didn't write that one. I wanted to show you some code that I wrote. Here's the dancing box on screen.
And it works?
It works. It's not tilting. It turns out we do have a limitation. Our rotation X and rotation Y are not actually part of the early release yet.
Okay, so, but this is interesting, though. So the API surface is working. It seems to be like, the surface is complete, but maybe not the implementation. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's exactly right. So everything compiles, everything is happening and coming on screen. Yeah. But you're right, there's a few things like rotation X, rotation Y that aren't quite there yet. So, okay, and my box would eventually dance all the way back onto the screen because it's just pulling in data that told it to go that way really far. Eventually, it comes back on the screen, but we're not going to wait for it. Instead, we're going to open up another cool application. So our recent solutions here. I've got a movies solution.
Excellent. And again, just want to iterate, it's early days, so we're limited API surface.
So it being so early, I actually had to modify my packages. So we'll see that my packages here, NuGet packages. I do have Xamarin Forms. There is a Xamarin Forms GTK here. But if we look at, how I did my packages, I have a custom package right here. So I cloned the repo. I had gotten and compiled everything from the repo, and then that included a NuGet directory. I just pointed my NuGet sources at this local directory. You can't read that right now. There we go. So you can see that's just in my local directory, and that means that I can now change to that and browse for Xamarin Forms GTK.
So that's fantastic. So you had to actually create the NuGet package. So again, this is how bleeding edge we are. Now, I think there actually is a package available on the GitHub repo that's been pre-built. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Yeah. I actually did have to create my own NuGet because it wasn't even available on the GitHub repo when we were preparing for this talk. It is now. Yep. So now you can actually do the clone, and you'll just point it at that repo that got cloned.
And how great, though, the NuGet, you're able to have a local repo, really just a folder, and you're able to consume those NuGet packages off the local system.
Yeah, so exactly. We actually talked a little bit about this in our continuous integration talk, how that actually caused me some problems because I'm using a local repo for some of this. But we had to work around that for our continuous integration process.
So pretty fantastic. Nice to see there's a good reason for that.
Exactly.
Challenges.
So we've got it working now. Everything's all set up. You can see this is a much more elaborate application following the MVVM pattern. So we have our view models. All of this, again, running on Mono. Pretty cool stuff. Let's run it. So this application was written by Javier, who's the same guy who did all the heavy lifting of the internal work, and he did a great job.
So really, just to test out the API, see how things are going. So
exactly, did an amazing job.
This is amazing. I mean, this we keep saying it's early
just
days.
Just testing. Out,
but look at this. We've got full visualization. We've got complex controls, complex layouts.
The jitteriness is my remote desktop, not the Xamarin Forms, and responsive design here.
And so I think the takeaway here is, of course, we are early days, but it is robust enough that you can get in and start developing. I wouldn't plan a release on this technology just yet. But absolutely, you can get in and start developing Xamarin Forms for Linux applications today.
Check out our responsive design here.
Pretty fantastic.
Let's do our master detail. Check that out. TV shows. Loads dynamically. Fills up the screen. Really, really nice. This is on Linux. This is leveraging just Xamarin Forms code and C# code. This is so amazing.
Pretty fantastic.
All right.
Now, do we have anything for the current platforms?
Absolutely. Let's talk now about getting our platforms, getting our native code embedded in Xamarin Forms directly. So it turns out, and let's see, how did we do that before?
I think we'll just duplicate slideshow.
There.
Perfect. Excellent.
All right. Excellent. My PowerPoint expert here. So it does turn out that Xamarin Forms has a somewhat limited surface area in terms of the controls it exposes.
Right, well, because of course we've got these model definitions, these kind of model objects that represent controls, but we're talking five platforms as of today. So of course there's some commonalities, and that means that we're not hitting every control, I'm not hitting the entire UI API surface on every platform.
Right, so it makes sense that buttons exist on every platform, and it makes sense that entry fields exist on every platform, and switches. Actually, switches don't exist on every platform, strangely enough. But there are a lot of common pieces of functionality, and those are exposed as abstractions in Xamarin Forms. However, we have not everything exposed.
Yeah.
We can see that there's things like a calendar view and a chronometer, floating button that Android has. Similar things in iOS, like switch controls. We have these things that are not necessarily supported in every platform. Here's the example of that floating button in Android, right? So we can see that in Android, this is really, really a common thing Android users want to see.
Absolutely, right. We expect to see this in Android applications, but we don't want to see this in iOS applications.
Honestly, it's getting pretty popular in iOS applications, I've found myself to, but it's a standard, it's an absolute standard in Android applications. It's kind of a must-have, and it's built in Android applications. iOS applications do not have it built in. People develop it themselves. But yeah, we must use it in Android applications if we want to look like a real Android application and not like an also-ran.
And this kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier with Xamarin, being able to make our applications look and feel like they belong on the platform and
exactly.
be able to leverage the features that are unique to that platform, make that platform special.
Exactly. Yeah. So how can we leverage some of this platform-specific stuff?
So this is a feature, it actually came out last year, but I think it's a little bit underutilized, and it's also going to lead us into another really cool feature. but it turns out that in Xamarin Forms, there's a couple of extension methods that are built in, and this allows us to actually consume native UI in Xamarin Forms.
Directly from our Xamarin Forms.
And the way this works is the NuGet package, the Xamarin Forms installation on each platform-specific project adds these extension methods. And here's a good example. There's an add method on the Xamarin Forms stack. So you see a stack layout. We're making a UWP button. This is actually a repeat button. It's a unique control to UWP. But we're adding that right to the stack layout. And that's because the extension method is actually wrapping it in a Xamarin Forms definition. And so that's the magic of Xamarin Forms, being able to pull these in.
So in xamarinforms.uwp's package, there is something specific that says this list of children can support a UWP control.
Yeah, absolutely. It can consume the base type.
And behind the scenes, it just magically does the wrapping that would be expected, and somewhat similar to the way it's done when we add a button.
Exactly.
Explicitly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we'll see the same thing on Android, same thing on iOS.
All right. Let's actually see.
Perfect.
It.
Okay. So let's switch back to my computer.
Great.
And I'm going to pull up a different solution here. And this one, please. And so here I have let's just switch over to Android, excellent. And let me bump up my font, this one again here. So we have a drawing application. It's a single screen application, again, it's written in Xamarin Forms. And I'm gonna try and just...
Super cool application.
it was a lot of fun to build. And, but this is a great application. So we've got a drawing surface, you know, the users can choose colors, I can draw, and it's a fun use of some cross-platform technology. I actually use some renderers under the hood, some custom renderers. But on Android, again, we really kind of want that floating action button. It feels like it belongs in the app. It's a perfect use here. We actually use it as our delete button. And so I'm just going to spin up the Android emulator here, so bear with me while we launch this. And so what we want to be able to do is, on Android, make use of that floating action button, but then use the constructs that are available in
Xamarin Forms button.
Which again, always still convert back to native UI, but obviously not to a floating action button in Android. So we're kind of defaulting to the Xamarin Forms style presentation, but then doing some customization on Android.
Great. And if we really wanted to, if we came up with some customization that we did want on iOS, we could do that as well.
Absolutely.
But for right now, on iOS and Windows, we're using the default visualizations. Well, what we made is default visualizations.
And so here, right away, I just want to show you the application. Again, it's just a simple drawing app. I'll pick a color and doodle. And we've got a floating action bar button, a floating action button, and of course that clears our surface. But again, this is a Xamarin Forms application. So let's see how we wire this up. So I'm going to go to shared code. And I'm using a shared project. And there's a good reason for that. The shared project allows us to do compiler directives. It lets us to isolate code that only gets executed and compiled on a specific platform. So we head over to our main page. So take a look. Let me just bump up my font again. They're nice and big.
Super.
So lines 5 through 9 here, notice we're wrapping in a directive here. So only on Android, we're going to bring in 3 additional using statements.
So of course, right now you're using conditional compilation. It says, if we compile this for Android, do this set of things.
Yeah.
Now, we're not completely out in the cold if we're not using a shared project where we can use conditional compilation, though, right? If I use a .NET standard library or a portable class library, there are still ways to take advantage of this feature.
Absolutely. There's a couple other approaches you can take. So one, you could create an abstraction, and then you can move this code to the platform-specific project, and then just use some sort of abstraction, maybe an interface, to reference that from your shared code.
Excellent.
The other option is to do it in XAML, and XAML technique is quite powerful as well. Now, with XAML, we can still use it in like a .NET standard or a PCL library. The trick is that you have to use bindings, because we still can't access the native controls in our shared code behind, but we can wire the bindings directly in the XAML.
Excellent.
And again, so really powerful. But I want to show you a quick way of doing this here, and we'll do this in C sharp. So again, we're isolating our using statements. And then I'm going to scroll down here, and I've got a method here called add toolbar items. And so on the other platforms, I'm adding a toolbar. And I'll scroll down. But notice here, again, I've got a compiler directive. And so I'm doing a lot of Android-specific work here. I apologize. There we are. So here, notice, now I'm creating an action button, a floating action button. Again, this is an
Android-specific thing.
It's Android-specific type. It's an Android type. And I'm even grabbing the context from form. So I can get the Android context. When I'm executing Android, create my floating action button. And now this is just like we're working in Xamarin Android. So it's just Android APIs in C sharp, same API surface. And I go through and do a bit of work. And this is mostly just set up the frame. And I think actually Jason used to work on this, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Actually. Yeah, we had a little issue where we had the frame being, well, we didn't have this action button frame here. What happens is, it's kind of cute the way this happens, is when we add the Android-specific control, we're trying to add it to a Xamarin Forms layout, right?
Yes.
And so Xamarin Forms goes in and asks the Android control, how big are you? Android reports back how big that control is, and then Xamarin Forms gives it exactly that amount of real estate. Well, Android does not include the drop shadow when it tells you how big it is. And so, because Xamarin Forms only gave it just enough room for the button itself, we ended up clipping the drop shadow. So we added, on the native side, we added some additional code, we added a frame, and it's the frame then that holds the button and its drop shadow that we hand over to Xamarin Forms.
Fantastic. And so I want to call a method here, and this is the toView method. So notice here on line 74, so we're actually taking our action button. I should step back up. Oh, I see what you put back in
there. I wrapped it.
You wrapped it. You did. This is a little bit different. That's pretty fantastic. So we're intentionally a frame layout. And this is on the Android side here. Yes, excellent. And then the frame layout, I missed that up. We're calling toView. And what this is doing is it's actually returning a view type. This is a Xamarin Forms type. So we're effectively wrapping the native control in a Xamarin Forms view. And then we're able, in this case, we're adding it to a layout. I believe this is a grid. And what's powerful about this, too, is I can even do things like I can set the row and column in the grid. And it's as simple as that.
And it looked great. Yeah.
But the other thing that's really fun here is notice line 67. So we're responding to the click event on our action button, and then we're calling our onClearClick method. And again, this is going back to our shared code. So now we're able to respond to the events on our platform-specific control in our shared code.
Right. Although it's worth noting that is the native click event right there. So Xamarin Forms actually has a clicked event. Yeah. That is the native button. So it's the native button's button handler or event type. However, it's still calling code that's in the shared part.
Right. And again, this is because we're in a shared project. The shared project is compiled for the platform, so it's compiled with the Android tools, and we're compiling an Android native application. And so this all just works. Pretty fantastic. This is a lot of fun. Again, this feature came out, I think, late last year. We've got a brand new cutting-edge feature. It lets us go a bit further with this.
Or a bit further in the same direction or the opposite direction, depending on how you look at things. but what we can now do...
Jump back to the slides. Perfect.
Yeah,
excellent.
Let's jump back to the slides. And what we can now do is actually embed Xamarin Forms in a native application. So if I already have a native application, maybe I've had the solution around for a long time and I just want to update it with some new cool page, and I've realized that page could easily be created using Xamarin Forms markup. Well, I can do that. I can just go and create my about page or my contact page or whatever it is in Xamarin Forms and now add it directly to my Android page or my Android application, my iOS application, etc. We can just add that directly in. Why else might we want to do this? Even if I was creating a brand new application, right? There's still some reasons I might not choose Xamarin Forms right now.
Absolutely. There's a lot of great reasons.
Right. So Xamarin Forms is super powerful, but there's still a few things it doesn't do. For one, if I want to have full control over my navigation, when I go from one page to another, I want to have a customized animation. Xamarin Forms is kind of opinionated about that. Xamarin Forms says, all right, you can control the page completely, even using a native control for that. But it's still going to hold on to the control of the flow as you navigate. Another thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, there's lots of great reasons. I mean, that's a big one to me. When Jason shared that with me, I was like, that's brilliant. Absolutely. So I can, you know, the Xamarin Forms is fantastic, but sometimes I want a little more control.
Just a little bit more, right? And there's one that I really was excited about because people ask me very many times, several times I heard, how can I change the master detail page to act more like an Android drawer? Right. Have more of the options that the Android drawer has and be a little bit more like that native Android drawer. For one thing, maybe just one, open it from the right-hand side. And I didn't have an answer. It's like, well, create an Android app and do everything in Android. Now my answer is, create an Android app, do the drawer in Android, and then you can embed all the pages could still be Xamarin Forms pages. And since that's the one that I kept getting the question for, that's the one we've decided to show you guys. So we're going to just show you a very simple app, but how we can get a right-hand drawer, but have all of our application markup, all of our UI, written in Xamarin Forms. So if you guys could switch us.
I'll pass my Mac over to Jason.
Thank you.
And he can lead it through it.
I'll take this. And let me just give it a run here.
Absolutely. And while this is deploying, again, there's a lot of really great reasons why you might want to do this.
Let's
look here. let's see here.
NuGet packages need to be restored.
Oh, interesting. Well, Jason's turning us on the NuGet packages. So just some other great reasons why you might be using native UI primarily. So there's really great reasons, like you've already got an application built with Xamarin Android. You've already got an application built with Xamarin iOS. But then you want to leverage the convenience of Xamarin Forms. You want to make use of the extended control set provided by the specific platform. So we saw earlier, you know, there's a wealth of controls that the Android SDK provides. And so although, you know, a lot of them are less common, you might be leveraging those in your applications. And although we saw some techniques where we can, you know, embed the native control into forms, if you're doing a lot of that, there comes a point where you might as well just build a native UI. So being able to use Xamarin Forms pages and specific parts of your application is really quite powerful.
I'm going to try restarting
Absolutely.
Visual Studio because it's not quite playing nice right at the moment.
So the demo gods are frying a little bit.
Yeah, the demo gods have had their say.
And it could be, we could even just pull up the code
if
the Mac.
Actually,
let's give it a go here.
Navigate me to the appropriate spot.
Absolutely.
There.
And I think even if we can't demo it, we can show the code.
Yeah.
Let's bring that up. Interesting.
Well,
okay.
As he said, the demo gods have struck. Let's take a quick look. I just sent this over to his machine today so that I could run the slide presentation today. But let's take a look anyway. So I've got my Android activity is my main activity running things, or my Android app is my main app kind of running the show. And so we see my main activity is not like a Xamarin Forms application where that main activity is just initializing forms and doing nothing else. It does actually call forms in it because it's going to be leveraging some pages.
Right, this makes a lot of sense. Of course, we're going to be using Xamarin Forms.
Exactly. We'll use some Xamarin Forms pages, but then my Android app goes on to actually create some of its own UI. We see we're actually creating a toolbar, setting that to the action bar. We go and find drawer, find navigation view. We find these things, and what are we finding them? Well, we actually had a set content view, something you do in a native Android application. So go to our resources, our layout. We see we actually do have some Android-specific work going on.
So fantastic. I love seeing the mix of the native UI and the Xamarin Forms UI.
Quite, yes, exactly. And then so I'm going to close this then and see that, but when we actually do navigate down here, when we actually click one of the items in our drawer, at this point, I'm instantiating a Xamarin Forms page. And I'll show you guys this in just a second. I instantiate the Xamarin Forms page, and we call create fragment. That turns that wraps it with an Android fragment so that I can use that Xamarin Forms page anywhere I would normally use a fragment, an Android fragment, including in a drawer, in a tab layout, all sorts of options.
Really amazing. And so, of course, on the other platforms, we'd see something similar, but something that's platform specific. It wouldn't be a fragment iOS. I think it's a view controller.
Exactly. In iOS, we have a two view controller. So we have that same available option right there of embedding the Xamarin Forms markup directly into our native iOS application. And you can see this is a Xamarin Forms page right here. Just a normal Xamarin Forms page with Xamarin Forms controls. And I could just as easily put this page into an iOS application as well.
Really fantastic.
So we got a lot of red on the screen because of the NuGet issue, but yeah, really amazing stuff.
But again, we'll have this up. We'll have the cut up on GitHub.
Yeah, you'll be able to clone that from GitHub, build it yourself.
Now, have a look. And again, we saw two really powerful ways of mixing native and Xamarin Forms. And again, love having the flexibility and the options. And now we're a little bit shy on time here.
Yeah,
so maybe we'll just
like
zip
it's time
through.
to just give a...
Why don't we just throw up... Give me 2 seconds on that slide here. Just really fast, I want to just throw a shout out to the Xamarin Forms team. Who they're working really hard to not only add lots of amazing new features, but to add increased performance as well. We've got some XAML compilation improvements, and they're pre-compiling bindings now, so it means less inflation at runtime, less reflection.
Right.
We got some list view optimizations on all three platforms, and Android's getting something called fast renderers, which at its heart is going to be even more performance for list views.
It's going to really simplify how the view structures are created when we create Android visualizations with Xamarin Forms. It's going to make sure that we keep those view trees as simple as possible, and that, of course, especially inside of a list view, will keep us super responsive.
Fantastic. And I see we have a couple of questions, so we zip through those fast as well.
All right.
The first one here, I see, someone's curious when Xamarin Forms will support WPF. And I don't think anything's been officially announced. I know they're looking into it.
Yeah, it's on the roadmap, but it's kind of out in the we're looking into it and we're researching it phase of the roadmap. So we don't really have a direct answer to that.
Yeah.
And then to John's question, when would it be possible to target Mac without having to have a Mac computer? Not in the foreseeable future. Targeting Mac is going to require a Mac computer, pretty much period. Mostly for licensing reasons. It's just the way that the licenses with Mac are set up. There's no reason to even explore the technology because legalities prevent it.
Yeah, and then the last question here is: does Xamarin for Mac use AOT or JIT compilation? So I don't actually know. I'm assuming it's JIT compiled.
I'm not sure, to be perfectly
I don't
honest
know.
With you.
Yeah.
I would have actually assumed ahead of time compilations,
like
since
iOS,
that's what we use for iOS.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So that's something you have to ping. A great place to go: Stack Overflow or the Xamarin forums would be great.
Just join university.xamarin.com and we'll discuss it more.
Yeah, go ask an instructor. Perfect. Love it.
Can you build Xamarin GTK project on Windows and run it on Linux? Absolutely. Yes, you can. Yeah, actually, that's a really cool thing. You build it completely, and then you can literally copy and paste your bin directory over to Linux, and it will run because Mono and the .NET framework are compatible. So it will just run, which is super cool.
That's really amazing. So we don't have a deployment mechanism right now, but we can still compile it and then move the binary over.
Yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Fantastic.
All right, guys, that is it for this session. So we're going to have to say goodbye. So once again, all the source code is available up on GitHub. Check that out and check out the blog post for those two huge features we showed you running on desktop today. And if you have more questions and want to learn lots more stuff, come see me and the other instructors at university.xamarin.com.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, guys.